everyone, this is Holly from the Giles Frontier, and today I am so excited to be sitting down with my friend Cheryl Bastian. Cheryl is a longtime friend, but how I know her is through the homeschooling world. She is a mother of eight from ages 18 months to 27 years. She's also the author of seven books, spanning from littles up to a great high school book. Her and her husband, Mike, are homeschool evaluators, which is how I got acquainted with them. About 7 years ago. Yeah. Well, I asked her to join me today for our autumn series because I knew she would have some wonderful tips on simplifying our homeschools, if that's possible, during the holiday season. Welcome, Cheryl.
Well, thank you, Holly. I just appreciate you inviting me in to share with your community because, as you know, my heart really does beat fast for families. I want them to be the absolute best that they can be. Mike and I have several mantras, and one of those is intentional, real, and relational. It's about the everyday life that people and the people in it, and that would include the holidays, though many people get so involved in the hustle bustle that sometimes is, at least in our home, it falls through the cracks. And so Mike and I are really trying to even make the holidays become intentional and real and relational. In preparation for this podcast, what I actually did was I asked my children, from the really little ones to the adult ones, what they remembered about the holidays. Because what I remember and what they remember, what's important to me, what's important to them,
always
is
be different.
So different, right? So it was very interesting to me that every single person, in their recollection of their favorites, it all involved the real life experiences. And it all involved us together as a family. Like, those were their favorites. It also involved some of the traditions that we've had, which we'll touch on a little later. But one of the ones that I thought was so funny is that my kids all remembered Grandma's country breakfast that she bakes for us, which has nothing to do with me, which, yay, it's one thing I don't have to do. Mama cooks that for us, and they love that. And they also remember the gingerbread houses. But I know we're going to get into a little bit as we go along, but I wanted to make it clear, Holly, because I think that we as moms take on the guilt.
Yes.
And I think an important part that I want moms to know is that what I consider simple, what I consider intentional, what I consider traditional for my family may not be that for your listeners. And I really, really, really want them to know that, because I don't want them to say, I'm going to do exactly what they're doing in the Bastian home and my life is going to be easy. Because as you know, that doesn't always work.
That's true.
And that's the beauty of family. So that's what I'm hoping that your listeners will get today as we move along.
Okay. Well, my first question for you is, how do you keep it simple during busy holiday seasons like what's coming up? We've got Thanksgiving coming up. We've got Christmas. And, those months seem to just sort of blend together, especially for homeschoolers.
Absolutely.
So I wanted you to give us a little take on how you guys handle that in your home.
Wow, that's a great question. And I will preface that by saying it's different. It has been different in different seasons. In the 27 years of momhood and 23 of homeschooling, we have definitely had different seasons, and we've had to adjust. Like I said, even the simple in those seasons was different than the simple that we had in other seasons. You know, I'd see these cute little, you can do this tomorrow activities, and I literally did them the next day. However,
I've done that too.
I didn't think about the impact that would have in our family, and oh my goodness, the results were not pretty. So what I thought I'd share with your readers is what I've learned from those experiences. And one of the things that I learned is that it was important for me to intentionally discuss my priorities with Mike. And as my children got older, with them as well, because their expectations and my expectations were very, very different. So here I am trying to make the holidays simple and all these things, and it's like what not even mattered to my family. And those cute little crafts, that they weren't even interested. So that's what
right.
I would encourage your listeners, is make it intentional to discuss those priorities with your husband and your children. Then from that, set realistic expectations based on that. If you decide as a family that you're going to bake cookies for the neighbors and the postal workers and the trash collectors and whoever else lives in your community, but you have toddlers and preschoolers, you have to understand there's going to be a mess. There's going to be flour, and it's probably going to take you all day. So, yes, once you have a priority, once you decide what that is, realize, okay, we have to set realistic expectations. And if I need the baby to be asleep before I do that, or if I maybe need to get a babysitter so I could take my olders to a Christmas concert, I need to plan on those things. And the other thing, actually, that brings me to, don't overload your schedule. Oh my. I mean, I'm an extrovert. You could tell I love people. And so it's really easy for me, and I love adventure. So it's really easy for me to just load up that, oh, the kids will love this. This will be great. And my husband, who's an introvert, not so much. And then I have littles. And tracking these littles through the hustle and the bustle and the, you know, just the whirlwind to all these parties and concerts and crafts, they literally will just, they'll just fall out. They'll crush because they are not going to be able to handle all the activity. So in some seasons in my life, I have really had to think about the ages and stages of all of my children and make, and respect that and really make my, my expectations, the priorities different based on that. And the other thing was, don't feel guilty about downsizing your holidays. Decorate less for less stress. That's what, you know, my mom's house is a museum. I can't be like my mom. First of all, I got kids. They'd pull things down. The tree. Oh my goodness, the tree. I decided, I don't know, maybe four or five kids in, that having two December birthdays and two February birthdays, like the tree had to go. Toddlers would be hanging in it. Or the other thing I said is, well, okay, maybe it doesn't have to go. And this actually came with talking with my older children. They said, man, we have to do the tree. I'm like, no, I guess can't do the tree. And they're like, but mom, we could get a small tree and put it on a table. Then they won't be able to. I'm like, brilliant.
That's a great idea.
So sometimes it's being able to say, okay, what are my circumstances and how can I make that adjust? And the bottom line is that every parent has to decide what's important for their family. What's going to be simple and important to my family is not going to be that way in your house or in your listeners' houses. And I'm all about relationship. And not only the people that we serve over Christmas, but my family. I want them to, relationships to be strengthened and not strained.
So do you have some very specific tips that you could share with our listeners that they could maybe put into place right now before the holidays come in and everything gets stressful?
Okay, so like I said, it would probably be to be intentional about your schedule and to know what those expectations are and then adjust your days. Don't overlay your schedule. And then also know how to go about your days so that your house doesn't have to be a Christmas museum. It's really about the people that are in that. And then through that, you were asking me about crafts and traditions that I do with multiple ages. That has really varied. Many of our holiday crafts and traditions have actually had to be altered or maybe not done 1 year because, again, we have a very large band of children. So I did notice, though, as I talked to my kids and the things that were important, is that a lot of our activities they remembered revolved around service. So something to be very intentional about, being able to refocus, reconnect, and refresh, not only with our family members, but with our neighbors and our church members. And that sometimes involved making cookies together. Yes, there was flour in the grout, but again, I had to just realize that that's what it was going to be. If my priority was service, I had to be able to deal with that flour in the grout. And then being able to, those service things that we did allowed our children to take their eyes off of themselves for a while and put it on other people, which was really important for us in the holidays. And using those traditions that were generational traditions for us, like making cookies, I used to do that with my mom and my grandmother. And so I was able to interject stories as we were going along. And I shared a little bit about that in the holiday issue of FPEA Connect magazine that will be coming out. I know you also wrote for that as well. Yeah. So some of the things, the crafts that we did around Christmas in our house were not, I'm a crafty person, but I wanted to, if I'm going to make a mess, I wanted there to be a purpose. So a lot of it was making gifts for people. That might be making wrapping paper by stamping cookie cutters and paint on butcher paper. We made soaps as gifts. That was a really fun science activity that we did. Cards, of course, you can make cards. Peanut brittle was amazing. That was so fun. In fact, that became a tradition for almost 5 years.
We've tried that before and it burnt.
Yes. We've had some burnt ears. But the really cool thing about peanut brittle is the last step when you put the baking soda in. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I won't tell you what happens. Your listeners will have to try that out. And of course, made ornaments with family pictures. That was always a favorite when we gave those. And we even made homemade lollipops. But again, that was a year when I knew I wasn't going to have to like take my eyes off the burner so it would burn. I didn't have toddlers that year, so we could do that. Another tradition or craft idea, something is if you've got a Ronald McDonald House by your house, which is Ronald McDonald House serves families of sick children near children's hospitals. So that may be something that you want to look into your area. A lot of people want to serve Ronald McDonald House, but Christmas is always a day where it goes empty. Nobody wants to serve on Christmas Day. And so we've done that twice, and our family really, really enjoyed being able to serve. The older kids helped cook and clean and vacuum, where the little kids made cards or decorated cookies. We've made our Christmas letter for our family and friends. That was really fun. The little kids dictated stories to me. The older kids did all the digital design, so that was a way that we could span ages. Christmas caroling at nursing homes. Another one we did was hosting Japanese students. We've done that 7 times.
Oh, my goodness.
My kids would beg us, can we have a Japanese student? And I'm telling you, it was a very, although at first I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I have to open my home in the middle of the holidays and cook for an extra person. But the program we did it with was a perfect match. Like during the day, the student was out. We just really had the student in our home at night. But we were really able to share like the gingerbread house making and the Christian holidays that we celebrate available to the Japanese, to the culture. So in the process of doing all of those things, because we do a little bit more laid back approach at Christmas, whereas some moms would want routine, maybe that would be helpful for them during the holidays to be able to keep their routine that they would have every other day. Like I said, I take a step back a little bit. It's a time for us to refocus and reconnect and refresh. And in doing all of those things, we get spelling done on grandma's cards or our Christmas letter. We get to paint and create with in the art area, measuring and double batching things that we get math out of that. Planning cookie recipes, like what are we going to actually make these neighbors? But, you know, like it's like chocolate chips. I'm like, well, the neighbors might not like that. So we're having to discuss what you like versus what the neighbors might like. That's problem solving, collaboration, and guest lists. You got spelling that we were able to do and comparison sales shopping. So there's a lot of academics that actually get done in the holiday season, I feel. They're real life things. They're not just like filling in blanks on a paper. They actually get to apply what they've learned for the during the rest of the year.
Well, all that is such great information. And now, because I know you so well, the last question that I'm going to ask is, I know you love books. Mm-hmm. Books are a huge part of your family, and you're definitely a proponent of reading aloud to your children. So do you have some book suggestions for our listeners for the holiday season that might be a favorite in your home?
One of the most amazing read alouds we've done as a family is the best Christmas pageant ever by Barbara Robinson. Hilarious.
Okay.
And it's short, so that for the little kids, it's not like 3 weeks till you're done with it. It's a real fun, fast read. A new one we found, Gingerbread for Liberty, is actually a really it's a true story about a German baker during the American Revolution. So we had a little history there. Silent Night, the song and its story by Margaret Hodges, is another one of our favorites. And then, you know, we got Stone Soup and Polar Express and The Mittens, all those. And I've actually got a blog post for the favorite Christmas read alouds that we've done.
Okay.
All the way up to A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, which is usually like a middle school, high school read if you've got older kids.
Well, we will definitely put a link in our notes over to Cheryl's website. Her website is Celebrate Simple, but you can find her at CherylBastian.com, and we'll have all that down there. So she's got a post up for winter.
Yes, the holidays.
Read alouds, holidays, and you can get more information over there.
Yeah.
You know, Cheryl, you have been such a mentor to me through the years, and I think that you are the hardest working homeschool mom that I know. And I really appreciate you coming and spending some time with me and giving some help and advice and sharing your simple and intentional ideas with our readers and listeners at the Giles Frontier. So from Cheryl and I, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Holly.
And hopefully we'll have you back again soon.
Well, we would love that. Thank you.
Thanks.